Hey guys, how y'all doing today? Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research.
There you go.
Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. Got a lot of good health articles, a lot of positive stuff we're going to go over today on today's show. Hope you guys are ready for a good time. Be sure to check out different product sales that we got going on. I'm going to leave the D3-10,000K2 up on sale for a little bit more today. You guys know the product of the week changes every Wednesday. And the new winner is going to be the Ultimate Multiple Powder, which I know that's one of y'all's favorite. I'm actually going to make some up here in a little bit. I had some more of the other shake. But, yeah, so I'll leave the D3 up. There's had a lot of people that are wanting to stock up on that the last day on sale. So I will put that up there shortly this afternoon. And also, there's this article that came out here that I wanted to cover, giving everybody kind of a heads up on this, because I know people are starting to realize how not a fun, safe fad that it is. Ozempic gets hit with another study showing that it causes a significant risk of age-related eye condition problems now.
Whoa.
This research recently published in JAMA found that patients taking the peptide 1 receptor antagonists like Ozempic, Wegovy, so forth, had more than twice the risk of developing neovascular age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD, leading cause of blindness in older adults. Now, the research analyzed health records from Ontario, Canada, involving more than 1.1 million patients, 66 and older, with diagnosed diabetes, tracking them from January 2020 to November 2023. So what this study is showing is here, this has gone way before the weight loss fad trend of Ozempic, and actually showing the research what happens with this drug when it's used with older adults for diabetic purposes. So again, another reason to realize that's not isolated, though, just to them. That's isolated to anyone that uses this product, and in some cases, maybe younger individuals as well. The study found that longer use of the GLP-1 drugs led to progressively higher risk of developing wet AMD, suggesting a dose-respondent relationship. Patients who used the medication 6 to 18 months had about double the risk, while those using 18 to 30 months saw the risk more than triple. Higher risk among patients who use the drug more than 30 months face over 4 times the normal risk of developing a sight-threatening condition. So just I just want to be letting you guys know, my friends, this is something that's not a joke of a drug. Using it for something very specific, if you had to, that's your call. But taking this stuff because you want to lose weight because people can't get their diet under control, I've watched multiple people now who have used this drug. They lose weight. They yo-yo and rebound right back to it because they don't change their lifestyle. You can't sit there and eat copious amounts of calories on a regular basis and take a drug to lose weight and then go back to eating an enormous amount of calories and expect your weight not to fluctuate. It's got to be an overall lifestyle change. Getting up in the morning, getting some cardio in, getting some exercise, eating some eggs, drinking a fit food shake, getting your body's blood sugar controlled and regulated throughout the day while maintaining healthy small meals is crucial. And if you do that, I promise you, it works. You don't need all these drugs. But if you have had to use these drugs for whatever reason, make sure you're using the EyeSight formula. Because apparently, for whatever reason, this drug causes a lot of issues with vision and eyesight problems. I don't know why. I don't know the whole background on it. They go into detail if you want to read all the research. But as far as I'm concerned, when I look at it, it talks about all these issues. I just recommend people stay away from it, or at least use the EyeSight.
They're talking about wet macular degeneration.
Correct.
Okay, now, there's another thing that causes that. Aspirin.
Okay.
And what it basically means is the back of the retina starts bleeding, and then it detaches from the back of the eye.
Okay.
And when that happens, you know, you basically end up with macular degeneration. Now, aspirin will do it too. I mean, I've been telling people this for over 20 years, because aspirin is too strong of a blood thinner.
Now, does aspirin do that from just small doses or regularly, or is that something when people use it long term?
If you use it every once in a while, it's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
You can't be using it long term, even small amounts.
Because I've used stuff like BC powder before for joints or something.
But I tell you what, though, if I take BC powder for a couple of days, it starts affecting my vision.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I've warned everybody not to use aspirin for 20, 30 years. And I learned about this many, many years ago from a top physician. That's why I've stayed away from aspirin.
Okay.
But the reality is, I mean, if you have a headache, I mean, which is worse, aspirin or Tylenol? Tylenol's worse.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the problem. Here's the question that I'm posing right now. A lot of people take an aspirin every day, and a lot of people take Ozempic.
Ozempic, yeah. Yeah, together. So wow.
You don't know what kind of synergistic effect they're having here. Now, I'm going to say the same thing that Austin just said. Every single person that I know, including a person who came on our podcast and promoted this product, unbeknownst to me, he's going to do that, they've gained the weight back.
Yeah.
I mean, 100% of them, all of them. And they have to go back on it again. Now, berberine will do about the same thing, and it doesn't cause all kinds of weird side effects. And I've been taking berberine. You know, I take 2 to 3 of those a day now. Now, if you really want to drop the weight quick, I take one of those every meal.
Yeah, and you run with the cinnamon extract and the ProCut Core. I have that kit on the website. You guys can look at it.
But you can start with just a berberine.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is I have a friend of mine who started taking it, immediately lost 10, 15 pounds. I mean, within a couple of 3 weeks.
Well, because it stabilizes blood sugar.
And Austin's right. Now, the other day, you know, we did a show, and I came in, it was last Friday, and we talked about the top 10 foods never to eat.
Yeah.
And we talked about losing weight, top 10 foods not to eat. Watch that show. It's pure, straight health show. But you got to realize Austin's right. If you just take this product to lower insulin levels in your blood, what ends up happening is it doesn't do anything as far as changing your behavioral patterns as far as what you eat. The main reason that the product works as well as it does is because so many people try to eat healthier when they're taking
it. That's exactly right.
And then as soon as they stop taking it, they go back to eating, you know, chips and donuts and garbage and
pizza.
I mean, if you want a fat pill, here's the fat pill. You ready? Have a chocolate shake with high fructose corn syrup in it, okay, from one of your local vendors, and eat a pizza with it.
Or a soda or a Coke.
Yeah, or soda.
Yeah.
But either way, but you know, with all the high fructose corn syrup.
That is the ultimate 100% guaranteed to get morbidly obese. Eat a nice big, especially the deep dish pizza. If you're gonna do, you gotta get the real thick bread. So you got about 3 inches of bread in it with extra cheese.
I remember we had a good friend of ours. He's a chiropractor. He weighed about 500 pounds.
Yeah,
great chiropractor. He'd go out. Was it one or two big?
No, I asked him. I was in the chiropractor's office. I asked him because I was in the bodybuilding at the time, and I was intrigued. I asked him, "How do you maintain 500 pounds?" I mean, he was very candid about being morbidly obese. He said, "Well,
quarter of a ton."
Yeah, he goes pretty much every day for lunch. I love getting 2 extra large deep dish pizzas and a 2 liter of soda. I said, "You mean that's like for the day?" He goes, "No, Austin, that's my lunch." I said, "You eat 2 extra large pizzas and a 2 liter of soda?" He's like, "Yeah, that's what I love that every day for lunch." And then throughout the day at night, he's like, "I'll eat some one of those big Bluebell ice creams, the big ones, big ones at night." And I thought, my gosh, because, you know, at the end of the day, from a physiology standpoint, it's not easy to maintain 500 pounds.
Yeah, tens of thousands.
You got to. I don't care if you got a thyroid issue or what. You have to eat an insane amount of food every day to maintain that.
Well, his joints went bad, and he had to retire as a chiropractor.
He was really smart, too.
He's a brilliant man.
Brilliant guy. Great chiropractor.
I don't know if he's alive still or not, but he was one of the nicest people I've ever known. In fact, he actually helped me edit a few of my books that we wrote way back when. But he had to retire, and he had some type of disability insurance. And when he couldn't work anymore, that actually kicked in for him. But it was because of the obesity. He started all kinds of – he was actually walking around on crutches.
Yeah.
He couldn't walk anymore.
Well, joints can't handle it.
Your joints couldn't handle the weight.
Yeah.
But even that wouldn't stop him from eating as much as he was.
Well, that's what I think a lot of people, you got to take a step back and you got to decide sometimes how long do you want to do something that you know is detrimental. Something occasionally you go eat a burger, you go eat some pizza or something on a irregular basis. Is it going to have a super negative effect on your body? Probably not, especially if you eat pretty clean about 90% of the time. But doing those things on a regular basis and making a habit of them, I don't care what they are, they can start causing serious issues. So,
I'm going to brag on you for a second. Yesterday, we were at the car dealership, and they got a new ZR1 in.
They got a new ZR1 in for all my Motorhead friends.
And
I got to show them a photo.
The same day that they get the ZR1, they announced that the ZR1X is out now with like 1,400 horsepower.
ZR1's just landed in Florida.
Yeah.
It's like
your first shipment.
Yeah, first shipment of them. And they got one of the dealership. They wouldn't even sell it. They're not even selling it. So they let us go look at it.
It's canary yellow.
It was cool.
Had a spoiler the size of a picnic table on
it. It's ridiculous. It's cartoonish, but it's cool.
It is cool. but here's the thing. They have a bunch of that ice cream over there, little containers of it, and I ate one. I ate one, and Austin wanted one, and he said, "Well, does it have high fructose corn syrup?" I said, "Probably." It was a little tiny amount. It's like tiny. And he said, "Well, I'm not doing it. I'm not putting that in my liver." And I was so proud of him. He stood his ground.
And I actually stood at the freezer with the door open looking at the ice cream. I picked one up. I looked at it. I looked at the ingredients, and I was like,
"Well, there were any ingredients on it?"
No, one of them had on it. I think they had them in there.
Most of them have ingredients.
But I put it back. So then I'm like,
and I was impressed. I thought, wow.
Sometimes I'm an oak.
Oh, by the way.
Now, if it had been organic, like Greenwise ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
I probably have
some. Oh, by the way, the U.S. has officially removed Colonel Nathan McCormick from his position working with the Joint Chiefs of Staff because he called Israel a death cult.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't even laugh on that. Who? Well, go back again. Who is this?
Colonel Nathan McCormick.
Colonel.
He was working with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff over in Egypt. He called Israel a death cult and said that America is acting as Israel's proxy, which is exactly what James Traffick has said, which is exactly what we talked about yesterday. Now, you guys, just cut us a slack here, okay? A lot of you get really mad when we talk about Israel, and you stop buying supplements from us.
That's not a lie. And I get emails.
Please don't do that. I mean, we got to have support for the show, or we can't do this show. I mean, this thing's costing us over $100,000 a year to run this show. If you don't agree with us, that's okay. I got that. But don't just say, we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We cover a lot of stuff besides that. Now Putin is coming in and saying, yeah, I really suggest, I'm paraphrasing, I really suggest that you don't get involved in this because it's going to really destabilize. Now, why don't you read between the lines on that?
Well,
Putin's about had enough of all of this. And then China's now coming in, and Pakistan's coming in. And here we are, McCormick's getting booted out for calling Israel a death cult.
Well, here's the problem that I have. All these outlets are coming down and saying, well, we don't want regime change. We just don't want them to have nuclear weapons. Okay, first off, they've allegedly been trying to build nukes for 30 years. Allegedly. Whatever you want to believe with the truth. Remember, Saddam Hussein also had massive weapons of destruction.
Remember all that?
Assad. Oh, Assad. We got to throw Assad out. Oh, we got to throw Gaddafi out. Well,
Libya. You played General Clark the other day.
Well, now, listen to this. Israeli ambassador says, whether Atola lives or not is irrelevant. We're ensuring they don't get nukes. Well, he's the leader of Iran now. They're saying whether he survives or not, we're not going to allow the Iranian regime under his control to have a nuclear bomb. Whether he's alive or not, you know, is irrelevant.
This is such crap. I'm gonna push the rewind.
Okay.
Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. We found uranium tubes with caked uranium in them. They're building nuclear weapons. We have to go and attack Iraq. And then we made sure we hung Saddam Hussein after we found there were no
regime change. Yeah. Oh, don't forget, we put a central reserve bank also in Iraq right after that happened.
And let me share something with you real quick. It's not so easy to build a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, no, it's not. Okay. You hear it in the media. They're building a nuclear arsenal. Okay. That's not easy to do.
If you watch Oppenheimer, which I don't suggest you watch, it's got some pretty nasty stuff in it. They couldn't get the detonators to work because they've got to set the stuff up around the uranium, all has to explode at once, and they couldn't get them to work. And Jim Mars said in his book, The Third Reich, or The Fourth Reich, he said basically, here's the deal, that the Germans gave us their detonators and their bombs, and that's what we dropped over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He said that we couldn't get the thing done. Now, that's a lot of scientists working on that project.
Yeah.
The Manhattan Project. I mean, it went on for years.
That was a crazy project.
Okay, and so if we can't get it done without the Germans' help, which is what happened according to Jim Mars, these guys probably aren't going to get it done to start with unless they get these other engineers that have worked in these projects before. And then they got to deal with the manufacturing. And it becomes a major, major headache trying to develop a nuclear weapon, especially with all of the restrictions of all the different things that you need for these things. Well, so, I mean,
you don't just go buy enormous amounts of enriched uranium.
Let me say it this way. If Iran could build a nuclear weapon after 30 years, they would have already done it.
That's probably facts.
Yeah, that's just it. And also, here's the funny thing about that. This isn't the funny thing. If Iran had built a nuclear weapon, they would have already dropped it on Israel after Israel attacked them.
That's also true.
I'm just telling you.
They do not like Israel. They would have dropped it on
them. If they had it or anything like it, they would have already done it. And if they had a dirty bomb with a bunch of uranium that they had, they could have dropped that over Tel Aviv. They haven't done any of that stuff.
The ironic part to me now is how many people in the mainstream media and now all these commentators and also comments, everybody is now an expert in regime change. Everybody's an expert in it now. Well, you know what Iran needs? I have no idea. I don't live in Iran. Everybody seems to know what Iran needs except the people in Iran. That's the funny part about it to me. Everybody's telling Iran what they need, but nobody actually wants to actually look at what's going on. I don't care what they want or need. I don't want a U.S. engagement with another war again. That's all I'm saying with everything. So,
oh, by the way, that. Virginia Guffrey, the one who basically died, committed suicide. Her dead, supposedly, if she wasn't murdered, she said her dead man's switch has now been released. And she goes, I have been murdered. This is the real Epstein list. It's not a written format. It's an audio format. So I'm going to let you guys look through it.
When did that get dropped out?
That was this morning.
I didn't hear about that yet.
Yeah, so we'll see. But, you know, here's the thing. What's going on with the Epstein list?
Yeah.
Why has Pam Bondi been hamstrung? Elon Musk already released that Donald Trump was on the list.
And quickly took it down.
And now, so if Donald Trump was on the list, that was a big person we're trying to protect. Okay. Why is it that the rest of the list isn't out? I mean, so this whole thing.
That's a valid point you just said. No, rewind that for a second. If Donald Trump is the one that we're trying to protect that with, right, and he's the main one that's on there, and Elon Musk already dropped it, and we come out and say there's nothing damning or harming to Trump on that list. He basically knew Epstein a couple times or hung out with him a couple times. Here's the evidence. There's nothing here. Why in the world hasn't the administration come out and said that? Why in the world hasn't the administration talked anything about this at all? They've literally hushed about it. Well, you know what, guys? You're right. We got it here. Trump was on that list with associating with Epstein three times. Here. There was nothing going on. Here's the evidence for it. Here you go. They went silent. Take that post down now.
These are honeypot deals, right? Epstein was Mossad.
Yeah.
Whether you want to believe it or not, read Dead Men Tell No Tales. It goes into him and Ghislaine Maxwell all being Mossad and her dad being Mossad. Mossad has gone out of their way now since the Kennedy assassination, which they were also involved in, by the way, with the Mossad. They have gone out of their way now to basically blackmail politicians. Yes. And blackmail judges and blackmail top people in the United States. And they have all of the evidence with them on the Epstein files in which he'd like to record things. He had cameras all over his house.
Well, the FBI director, the original one, what's his name? The cross-dresser. Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover.
Hoover. Yeah. He was one of the original individuals that figured out how effective blackmail was for controlling political aspects.
If you watch the movie The Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch that movie. It's done back in the 60s and 70s. It goes into the groups of people that control the world and how they do it through blackmail. So if you lose, if suddenly we find out that half of our senators and congressmen have been with Epstein.
With little children. Yeah.
And we start learning that all these judicial people have been with little children. They're all going to get kicked out. And now all of a sudden the control that Mossad has and the CIA has and MI6 has over our organization. Oh, need I mention the guy behind the curtain that took down Building 7. You know, and it goes right back to that movie with John Wick when he burned up all of that evidence and all those tapes and all that stuff in the back of that vault in the back of that church, and he burned it all. He said, I don't want any of this if I'm burning it at all. And the guy says, do you not realize what he's done?
Yeah.
He has destroyed us, not because he took our money, we can make more money. We no longer have the ability to blackmail these people.
The judges, yep.
So what we're doing is the Epstein file's not doing it. But this is an interesting article. I'm going to read you this. Listen to this. Then and now, Trump reveals his beliefs. This was 10 years ago, right? He goes, the United States has spent $8 trillion fighting and policing in the Middle East. Thousands of our great soldiers have died or been badly wounded. Millions of people have died on the other side. Going into the Middle East is the worst decision ever made. This Donald Trump said this. Oh, yeah. Okay, now here's Jack Posso. We spent $2 trillion in Iraq, $2 trillion. We lost thousands of lives and thousands in Iraq. We have wounded soldiers who I love. They're great all over the place, thousands and thousands of wounded soldiers, and we have nothing. Donald Trump 10 years ago again. This is back in 2015. So then he gets to Tucker. Then Tucker says, I don't want my country to further weaken or be destroyed by another one of these wars. And if you can't connect the dots after 25 years of this crap, he didn't say crap. You're either too dumb to participate in the conversation. You're like Mark Levin, just a liar who doesn't care. Now, Mark Levin was interesting. I was on his show. I never told you this. I was on his radio show one night, and I started talking about things he don't want to talk about. Guess how long I was on his show?
Very shortly, probably.
Less than 3 minutes. And I guarantee you that none of my broadcasts ever appeared live because they have that three-minute delay. I mean, I was cut out and I was cut loose immediately. Just thought I'd mention that. Tucker Carlson, the reason I'm speaking out is because if we get dragged into this, we could be witnessing the end of America. It could effectively end Trump's presidency. I've seen it myself with George W. Bush and Iraq. Okay. And it goes on. I'm sure this has nothing to do with the neocon push for regime war change. The neocons, pretty much all the dual Israeli citizens, I can't believe I said that, Austin, and a lot of the other extreme Democrats who claim to be rhinos, Republicans of name only, that are in the Congress. That all came to be, by the way, with Ronald Reagan, because they knew that his program and what he was doing, pushing America first, was great. So they intercepted it, went into it, and they're Republicans in name only. They're really hardcore Democrats who want to be communists and bring the United States down. And, you know, and it's sad. And he goes, when you start looking at this, you start realizing that Donald Trump has completely changed his colors. And then I mentioned this to you yesterday, again, about how Donald Trump said when he was talking to, I think it was David Letterman, about how the Kabbalah, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan, he doesn't say that, Tree of Life Award. This is the same group that started with Theodore Herzl back over 100 years ago and pushing Zionism to form the country of Israel, to rebuild the Third Temple, to bring out the Antichrist. This is the same group. They've been around for about over 100 years now doing this, who give out the Tree of Life Award. So this is all part of it. It's in Trump's office, and he said it represents everything he believes it stands for. Just thought I'd mention that. And then one more thing. It says war's all connected, the Middle East, Russia, and China. The Middle East war is deeply connected with the war to destroy Russia, and it's orchestrated by the neocons. There we go. And I have written before that I argue with Bill Kristol back on the 90s on whose father helped start the neoconservative movement. They wanted to remove all opponents of Israel under the pretense that this would bring peace to the Middle East. In other words, everybody support Israel. They targeted Saddam, Assad, and Gaddafi to remove these three leaders who were dictators. In 1963, Benjamin, Bibi Netanyahu's father, removed himself and his children from Israel to Philadelphia. He went on to teach at America's First Center for Postdoctoral Jewish Studies. Bibi went to Cheltenham High. He joined the debate and chess teams. He played left wing on the soccer field, but Bibi didn't even stay for the graduation ceremony, leaving to join the Israeli Defense Forces for the Six-Day War in June of 1967. Kristol and Benjamin Netanyahu first met and formed an early friendship in Philadelphia during the 1970s when Bibi returned eventually. He and Bibi attended MIT and Harvard, frequently visited his older brother, who was studying at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. All of these people have been staunch, basically, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan, hardcore Shabbat since their inception into the United States, and their families were brought here. And they want to have Israel ruling the world. It says here, former General Wesley Carr was told the same information I was told directly by Kristol back in the 1990s. That's who we had played the other day. This is not going to end well for the USA, Europe, or the Middle East, or the rest of the world. Obama's attempt to invade Syria was rejected by Congress, but he still funded the CIA's covert operations, which eventually took Syria down. Yep. This sent countless Muslims into Europe. This is what happened. Hillary Clinton did this too, by the way. And Gaddafi warned us. He said, you take me out, this whole thing's going to be running into Europe. And he was right. This sent countless millions, tens of millions of Muslims into Europe, and therein lies the destruction of Europe, while neocons are entirely in charge of NATO and have indoctrinated all the various heads of state from Mertz, Starmer, and Macron, just to mention a few. Their myopic focus on war with Russia has overlooked that this neocon attempt to overthrow Iran, which supplies 80% of the oil to China, Austin. Yeah. That's why China's so ticked off.
What do you think China's going to do if we go after Iran?
The oil fields are shut down now, has also allowed waves of Syrian and other immigrants into Europe who are not assimilating at all, and they're continuing to force their Muslim customs. As war escalated against Iran, the greatest danger is that this becomes a jihad. There you go. A holy war against both Judaism and Christianity. I would not plan any vacations to Europe this summer. Yeah, I think so. The Middle East neocon war to eliminate all the possible enemies of Israel is a disaster about to unfold. Pakistan has threatened to drop a nuclear warhead on Israel if Benjamin Netanyahu uses nuclear weapons against Iran, according to a top Iranian officer. General Moses Riaz, a senior officer in the Islamic Revolutionary Guards, has said that in an interview, Pakistan has assured us that if Israel uses a nuclear bomb on Iran, they will attack Israel with a nuclear weapon. I mean, you realize how unbelievably unstable this thing's becoming over there, Austin?
Well, and here's the biggest thing. I say this all the time, and people don't really understand the entire context of it. Whenever we need to go to war, it all depends on whether or not Lockheed Martin or Raytheon deem it so.
Who is owned by BlackRock, State Street.
Exactly. This is an interview that nobody's talked about that came out 2 days ago from the COO of Lockheed Martin, who's basically standing there gleaming, talking about how we're about to have an enormous amount of spending in the next 3 to 5 years in the defense programs, and basically pretty much telling everyone we're about to make a crap load of money. Listen, this is this article here. Listen to this.
The COO of Lockheed Martin, Frank St. John, thank you for joining us. Lots to discuss because defense is the topic that is happening right now. And a lot of people are saying defense spending, are we in the beginning stages here? Given everything we're seeing, Ukraine, the Middle East, or are we sort of in those middle innings? Where would you say we are?
Hey, Phil, good to see you again. And I would say we are in probably the beginning of a 3 to 5 year surge in defense spending, especially here in Europe. The first couple of years, there was a lot of dialogue and understanding the issue and understanding the demand for deterrence capability. Now we're starting to see those budgets come into play in the European countries, as well as some increases back in the U.S. domestically. So I think for the next 3 to 5 years, budgets are going to be pretty substantial.
There you go.
What do you think that means? Do you think they're going to be making weapons and bombs because they're going to sit in a warehouse for no reason for the next 3 to 5 years? This is exactly what happened leading up to 9/11. In the late 90s and the early 2000s, the spending defense budgets went through the roof. Lockheed Martin and Raytheon got billions, actually into the trillions, as far as we look in aggregate with all the contracts they had and overall over the entire war for 20 years. So again, just something to be aware of. And this is something that I saw earlier. I did
remember what Eisenhower said, beware of the military industrial complex.
This is a good positive. I'm spinning this on a little bit. At least we have some senators now that actually, with this big, beautiful bill, which a lot of the stuff I don't agree with at all, they seem to be running it through. However, we've got a couple congressional leaders and senators who have been getting together and talking about how ATF is completely unconstitutional and how the NFA is unbelievably illegal and violates the Second Amendment. It's official now in the big, beautiful bill, the Senate Finance Committee. So these are the senators.
The BBB.
Yeah, the senators now. Is it already passed? The senators now changed the verbiage of part of the NFA Act. And they're going in now and they're removing short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, any other weapons, suppressors, all off the NFA list. No tax stamp, no registration. Basically, the only thing the NFA list will have will be machine guns, and hopefully those are next on the chopping block. So the Senate went in and took it a step further from what the Congress did, and they're going in now and fully repealing the excise tax and the registration on here. I was reading more about it. It says the new language will not only remove the $200 federal excise tax, registry, and paperwork currently imposed on suppressors, they will also remove the same requirements on short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, and any other weapons as defined by the NFA. So this is the first time since 1934 we're actually getting a very, very big win for the Second Amendment industry and the Second Amendment patriots. So I just want to throw that out there. So that was a positive story.
You know, I find it fascinating that people are actually waking up and realizing that it's nice to shoot a weapon with a suppressor and not have to wear ear protection.
Oh, yeah, especially you start shooting high caliber like 5.56 and 308.
I mean, it's still this is pretty loud with a suppressor with those.
But it cuts it way down.
But if you're shooting like a .45, which is subsonic with a suppressor,
oh gosh, it's like a pellet gun.
And you're still, so if you're in the house and you're having to defend yourself and you have an intruder come in, you're not going to be disabled from the concussion blast.
Well, like that one company, they're really expensive. I haven't even seen the gun in person. I've seen the videos, that Genesis 12 gauge, where it's like a 6-7 inch 12 gauge short barreled shotgun with a suppressor on it. And they're shooting it and it's like
10 round mag.
Yeah. I'm like, that kind of technology is really stepping up. Like, we're realizing we don't have to blow our ears out every time we shoot inside of a house or a CQB.
People who shoot a lot, and they can't hear anything.
Oh, I know. I got tinnitus. I mean, you shoot long enough like that, and eventually you end up shooting without ear protection on. I didn't put ears on. Boom, boom, boom. You're like, oh, gosh, this is fun. You do it again, you're just like.
You got to be so careful with that.
Yeah, especially with young kids. Be very cautious of their ears, especially when you start teaching them and training them how to shoot. That's really, really important.
So many people I talk to, it's so funny, and they've got hearing problems. They're young, and they talk real loud all the time. Yeah. So they can't hear themselves.
Yeah. It happens. Also, too, this is another story. CDC scientist who drove the COVID and RSV vaccine policies resigns in protest. She's all mad at RFK Jr. This is the second CDC vaccine expert to resign in 2 weeks. You know, I wonder, as I haven't dug into it, I haven't really spent the time nor the care, because I pretty much already confirm it, pretty much can already guarantee it, that these individuals have been directly tied into the pharmaceutical industrial complex of the vaccine industry, even if it's indirectly. The senior scientist at the CDC who helped shape national vaccine policy for COVID and the respiratory virus resigned Monday.
This is so funny. Here, an email to colleagues announcing a resignation. She says she will no longer confident that COVID and RSV virus vaccine data will be used objectively or evaluated with appropriate scientific rigor to make evidence-based vaccine policy decisions. You know, you always, from a psychological standpoint, I try to explain this to you guys, you always have to look at what manipulative sociopaths say to you in order to get key terms in your brain to psychologically manipulate you. When they say stuff like, to make evidence-based vaccine policy decisions, there was no positive evidence for the COVID vaccine to be released, and it wasn't even a vaccine. The CDC had to go in and redefine the definition of a vaccine that had been in that term of a vaccine had been that way for like 70 years. They had to redefine it so they could get the COVID shot to fall under that umbrella of an actual vaccine. So when they say stuff like evidence-based vaccine policy, those are trigger words that they'll repeat repeatedly. They say it all the time. They did it during COVID. Flatten the curve, 14 days. They do these things to implant them in your head like seeds so they can continue to use them. So when they come up with the topic again, they're trigger terms that get the type of response they want, and they get individuals in the mainstream media to also repeat them and parrot them. So after you hear them 40, 50, 60 times, you start to repeat them and parrot them. And they get the entire population saying these things over and over and over again in order to push their policy and manipulate the population. So I want to address that. I'm not going to read any more what this moron says. Good riddance to her resignation. But again, another reason why I'm glad that RFK Jr. is coming there and mopping the floor and getting some cleanliness.
You know,
back to the CDC.
What's so funny? We got the whole thing going on in the Middle East, and we got RFK trying to do stuff. I would have voted for him for president. By
the way. I know. So would I.
Yeah, I mean, I would have voted him above Trump and all the rest of them. And of course, Trump knew that. That's why I told him to give him HHS, which I'm still surprised he did that.
Yeah.
But let me talk about the 9 principles of propaganda, since that's what this is. It's always propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, lie big.
Yeah.
Big lies work better than small lies because the masses won't believe that anyone would lie about that.
That's exactly right.
In other words, when the lie gets so big, you think, oh, we got a nuclear war going on in the Middle East now. Lie. Well, it has to be true. They would never lie
about
that.
They would never lie about something that big.
Number two, focus. Don't make it complicated. Ignore history. Keep it simple for simple minds. You know, just keep it simple.
Ignore history.
Yeah. Number three, repeat. People cannot tell the difference between facts and familiarity. If they hear the same words repeated enough, they become true in their minds.
Well, as I just said with this girl, they use trigger words over and over and over and over again. 14 days to flatten the curve. After you hear that 50 times, you go, well,
it's going to be 14 days to flatten the curve. Yeah,
it's 14 days. We're July. We're 5 months into 14 days to flatten the
and
curve.
Now 5 years later, they go, well, you know, we flattened the curve.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. We didn't flatten anything.
Don't talk about history. I guarantee you in 4 or 5 years from now, if we don't keep talking about this, they're going to come in and say, we did it. We did flatten the curve.
Number four, they will. Number four, never credit the other side. Always blame, debase, defame, and dehumanize.
Oh, yeah.
Always tear in and blame the other people for doing exactly what you're doing. Yep. This is what Stalin and Lenin did in Russia. They always blame the other side. They blame the ruling class. Number five, provoke. Outrage, fear, and resentment are more powerful than reason, logic, or facts. I'm going to repeat that one.
Yeah.
Provoke. Make him mad. I'm going to do this to you if you do this to me. How about I just do this to you first? Now I say you did it to me first.
You're not wearing a mask. Yeah. You're a grandma-hating neo-Nazi. Yeah.
Provoke. Outrage, fear, and resentment. Oh, I'm mad that you're not wearing a mask. I'm in fear of my life because you're not wearing a mask. I resent the fact that you're more powerful than reason, logic, or facts, and that you're not wearing a mask. I'm angry at you. I mean, I almost got a couple of scuffles about the mask thing.
I'm mad you didn't get your shot, so my shot's not going to work now, dang it.
I'm at a hotel in St. Augustine with Sharon, right? And I had forgotten my Yeti, and I had left it in the room.
Yeah.
Okay, and I had to go back upstairs to get it before we checked out to go downtown St. Augustine and walk around. And it was interesting because I walk up to the elevator, and there's a guy sitting there wearing a T-shirt that has evolution from us crawling out of the slime through a monkey face into the human being face.
He's a bright one.
He's a bright one. But he thinks he's bright. Oh, I believe in evolution. So I walk up to the elevator, and he's pushed the button already. I'm waiting for it to come to the room, to come down. And he goes, you better not think you're getting on that elevator with me without a mask on. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm getting on the elevator. Whether you want to ride on the elevator or not is up to you. But I really suggest you don't touch me.
Yeah.
He looked at me kind of funny, and he said, what do you mean? I said, you heard what I said. I said, if you want to get that aggressive with me, you've already got me ready to go.
Have you said anything to him before that? You just walked up.
Not a word. Not a word. And then I had him. I'm in the elevator at the that Circle Yellow Hotel, the Sheraton in Tallahassee. Yes. And I'm going up the elevator, and Sharon and I are going to a game. And some big old muscled up dude, all steroided out. He was some strength coach for some wrestling team that was in town. He's in there with a mask on. I walk in. I said, how you doing, buddy? He goes, I was doing good until you walked in here without a mask on. And I looked at him. I said, this is Florida, Buckwheat.
Yeah. We're not in New York.
I said, this ain't in New York. And he goes, you can't. I said, no. Dan, I said, this conversation is going to stop right now. Now, you think yourself. He goes, because he's a big boy, he thought I was going to be intimidated by him.
Well, that's what's funny, though, is he's still that stupid. He's wearing a mask.
Well, he's stupid. He's just stupid. Okay. Number six, crisis. Issues must be life or death, good or evil, love versus hate, us versus them. Yep. Urgency defeats objection.
There you go. Repeat that.
Issues must be life or death. Well, you're going to die if I don't get you, if you don't put a mask on. Good versus evil. You must be serving Satan because you're not wearing a mask. Okay? Love versus hate. You must not love your family. You must hate them because you're not wearing a mask. Us versus them. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Urgency defeats objection. You got to do it right now.
Right now.
We're all going to die. Okay. We get to go to heaven. That sounds fun.
Get the shot right now.
Yeah,
get it right now or we're suspending
you. Old people, we have to let you go first. And all the old people wouldn't lined up like a bunch of idiots. Forgive me, but
they're
idiots.
We don't have enough shots. We're only letting people 65 and older get the shot first right now.
Well, because we have to seize their pensions.
And then we found out they had billions of vials. They had been in storage for I don't know how long.
We had to seize their Roth IRAs.
There you go.
We had to make sure they got off the Social Security.
401Ks,
oh,
baby.
Oh, yeah. Emotion. A person may question facts, but they'll never question their own feelings. Go emotional. Oh, you're going to die. Your family's going to die. Oh, my God, what am I doing? I've got to do it. You got to get emotional. What the heck? Emotion defies logic. When you're emotional, you don't respond, you react. They question facts, but they'll never question their own feelings. Go emotional. Oh, you're going to die. Your family's going to die. Oh, my God, what am I doing? I've got to do it. You got to get emotional. What the heck? Emotion defies logic. When you're emotional, you don't respond, you react.
Exactly.
In line to order a sandwich with a mask on when I'm going to sit at a table 1 foot away.
I just had this conversation last night with Tyler, and he's at the house.
No, I'm in Miami. I had flown down there in the 210, taking you down there. We're looking at some cars, and I went to a little sandwich shop across the street. There's a table right there by the doggone register. I mean, it's right by the register, and he says, you have to stand with your mask on and order. I said, I'm 2 feet away from the table. I'll sit at the table, and I will order.
Yeah.
Remember that? He goes, no, you've got to put a mask on to order. I said, do you make any sense to anybody ever? What's wrong with you? So then I got up and went over to Publix, and we ordered a chicken.
Yeah.
And we were like a bunch of barbarians ripping the wings off. Remember that? And we didn't get a sandwich, but we got a whole chicken. We ate the whole chicken. We did. So pandering, no reasonable arguments. Like, why do I have to, can I sit here? Why do I have to walk through the restaurant with a mask on to sit here without a mask on? This is so stupid.
So dumb.
Okay. and make sure you demonize all who disagree as having bad intentions. Oh, there's something wrong with you. You don't want to wear your mask to order. No, there's. I'm going to go somewhere else.
That is one of the biggest, most effective tools I have seen to use to manipulate populations is you sit there and say, just because you don't agree with me, you disagree with me on this topic, you suddenly have bad intentions about everything. Again, you don't want to wear a mask, so you're a grandma killer.
Neo-Nazi.
You're a neo-Nazi.
Skinhead.
That's literally what they try to put on everybody. You're a grandma killer because you won't wear a mask. No, I just don't agree with you because there's no science to back running around with a face diaper.
You break your hand. I fly up and pick you up. I fly you back down to Celebration to the hospital there. We're sitting in the hospital in their intensive care, their ward there.
Well, that one Celebration was Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando. Because they had to take the splint off. And they said, you got to take the splint off so we get the cast on.
Yeah.
Okay. So then they put us, and then they have us there and say, you've got to wear a mask to sit in the room.
Yeah.
But no.
After they pull it off, Marissa's broke. I'm like, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not putting a mask on. I'm trying to breathe.
And this neo-Nazi woman, probably a butch dyke lesbian, I have to say that again, says to us, you can't sit in here with us. You have to go out and sit in the hallway. I said, yeah. With all the traffic and all the stretchers running around, he didn't have a mask. He didn't have a cast on.
Yeah.
So we're sitting out there. So I said to her, I said, do you realize the liability exposure that you're doing
right
now?
Open break. Yeah, I'm sitting there, broken wrist. Oh, you have to sit outside. And I'm like, no. if you don't go outside right now, we're calling security and having you escorted off the premises and trespass. And I'm like, my wrist is broke. This is not the standard of care.
So what I did, I grabbed two chairs.
Yeah.
put
on the hall.
Stand in the hall. So I grabbed two chairs in the hallway. And about 2 minutes later, the supervisor comes and goes, what are you doing?
Well, we're sitting in the hall. And he looks at me and I look at him and he goes, do you realize how much liability exposure they just put on them? We're going there. They got stretchers. They're running people
flying
through.
Back and forth.
I'm sitting there with a broke wrist holding it. And I'm like, I'm sitting in the hall. I'm looking around. I'm like, it's going to take one person to run into us. One person to run into us. And I am not a sue happy person. I've never sued anybody. But I'm sitting there going, these guys are about to get themselves a lawsuit.
And so then what happens? The supervisor walks out and goes,
what are you doing out here?
Said, we've been thrown in the hallway because we won't wear masks. Come with me.
Right now. Yep.
And they immediately put a cast on you.
Yep.
And we stepped in front of like 20 people in line.
They took us straight to the x-ray. They ran x-rays. They put a cast on. She goes, why are you out in the halls? They kicked us out. Why don't you wear a mask? Because I don't want to wear a mask. My wrist is broken. I don't have to
wear
a mask.
We're in Florida. Yeah.
We're in Florida. She goes, get out of the hall now. Come with me. I'm like, okay.
And number 9, no limits. Morality is for losers.
There you go.
The victor's morality will not be questioned. There are no limits. I said to you, put a stinking mask on and stand 666. I am the victor, says Fauci.
That's true.
No, he was a victor.
Yeah.
He sat in there at a doggone baseball or basketball game or whatever it was.
Yeah.
No mask on, having a big party with his buddies. But everybody else had to wear a mask. I am the victor. Morality is for losers. You can't listen to me. You're a loser. Boy, did we take the hits on this stuff back then.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. It's been 5 years ago. And we stood right here and told you guys, they're going to prove the masks don't work. And they did. And they're going to prove the COVID shot don't work. And they did. And they're going to prove that it causes death. And it does. And they're going to prove it attacks the testicles. And it does.
And we're going to prove that.
And it does.
We're going to prove the standard of care with remdesivir and ventilators was specifically designed to kill people to
and
get them on their money.
And we did. It's funny. Everything we said, everything about that, we were right.
And now it's hush, hush. Don't talk about it.
Now it's like morality is for losers. The victors of morality will not be questioned. No limits. In other words, this girl says, I quit now. I resign because my morality has no limits.
And it was crazy. This study, this Canadian researchers just came in now. And they analyzed geographic and all-cause mortality data from the U.S. and North America. And they concluded that the data are incompatible with existing models of pandemic viral spread, meaning the study shows that pandemic control policies and standard of care, flawed and dangerous medical treatments caused the spikes in mortality in 2020. Meaning it wasn't the virus that was killing people. Oh, my gosh. Imagine that. It was the programs that they did, the standard of care with remdesivir, the lockdowns, the mask, and everything in between is what caused people to have more problems. They said the interventions due to the COVID-19 pandemic resulted in the deaths of elderly and poor people. Researchers from Canadian nonprofit Coralization came to a conclusion on now. 356-page analyzed data. Showing that it was the interventions and the standard of care basically what caused the death.
Of course it was.
Wasn't the virus.
You know, also remember this. The Frankfurt School came in here. I've talked about it many times with cultural Marxism back in 1933 to Columbia University. And it came in to destroy the fabric of our society and our ability to resist.
Yep.
And our ability to say no. And they've broken the fabric of the family unit. Now, I got an excellent article came in from Riley, and I want to talk about this for a second. It says, if you want an inside look to the major battle over the next 10 to 20 years, this is it. Civilization isn't inherent. You can't put a bunch of humans into a room and say, do whatever you want and have civilization.
That's actually true. People have to be able to work together to build civilization.
But listen, this is really good. It's an emergent property of a sort of pairing when the majority of women procreate above replacement levels, because men can't do that, and the majority of men then have a purpose for sacrificing themselves to supply for the wives and for the family to do meaningful labor towards society.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody got that, right? Women, guys can't have babies.
Right.
That's what he's saying here. Guys can't have babies, so the women have to want to have babies.
To have more babies than basically
current population. So in other words, you have to have like a 2.3% replacement for two people. Otherwise, you will have a diminishing. This is what happened to Europe.
Right.
That's why Europe's basically going away. Okay. The reverse of this is what has happened in Japan. Labor shortages and collapsing economy and birth rates.
Yeah.
In other words, there aren't enough people to work anymore. They don't want to bring a bunch of people in, and the birth rates are collapsing because the women aren't having children and the men aren't there enough to work to supply what they need for the women. Okay. The problem, of course, is that women only, and it's not all women, some women. The problem is that a lot of women, due to cultural Marxism now, only value first order effects, whatever is fun and good right now. Feminism, cultural Marxism, effectively coded this as a legal requirement.
Okay, yeah.
This pushes the term called gynocentrism. Okay? In other words, the man has to supply all of the needs for the woman, but the woman doesn't have to do anything besides have fun, including she does not have to have babies.
Gotcha.
Now, don't send me letters on this. I'm just going to read
you. But you're not talking about everybody. This is a basis of societal norms now that's starting to come about.
No, this is why yesterday there was a Butch Dyke lesbian sheriff.
Oh, gosh. I remember this. I was driving.
Okay. No, I mean, big woman. I mean, like Bertha. Bertha Butt Woman. I mean, talk a big woman. And she's blocking an intersection because somebody was getting towed. But there was plenty of room for her to back up 20 feet or move forward 20 feet.
Or the vehicle had already been on the rollback. It was sitting there on the rollback. But she backed her car up to block the entire intersection for no reason. I'm sitting there. There's two female sheriffs that she kept talking about. Starts pointing. Go that way. Go that way. Turn around and
screaming and yelling.
Screaming. Yeah, there's another car in front of me. I'm looking at him going, dude, why are you even parked here?
Way out of the way.
Go all the way down. Didn't have to do a U-turn in front of traffic.
Half a mile down. All she had to do is back up Teffy. But boy, that Butch Dyke was going to do what she wanted to do because she had a badge. Now, men can do that too, some of the sheriffs. So I'm not just picking on her being a Butch Dyke, even though she was disgusting. But the reality is, this is what happens. Now, so in order to get the second order effect of having a stable society where women are able to be at their happiest and have children and be a mother and a wife, and don't get mad at me, I'm reading what this says, you have to convince this group not capable of understanding it's time to give up their fun and actually get back to society.
Well, and that's what, you know, everybody in your younger years of growing up, and that's why I always tell a lot of my friends, too, and a lot of my ones that are very successful to figure this out. When you're younger and you're a teenager, it's like, you know, you're figuring out who you are. When you start getting your early 20s as a man, you got to start figuring out what you want to do. Okay. It's not about fun, let's have fun all the time. It's about let's start building, let's start growing, let's start investing, let's start developing, let's start doing work. And you see, I've seen the guys that I knew that were in their teenagers, their 20s, that really started to put in grind time, and now they've done great. I've seen the ones that never grew up, and everything was fun, and it goes the same way with females. And all of a sudden, it's like, you see these people, and
it's like that song from the Beach Boys. We're going to have fun until my daddy takes the T-bird away. And that's what we have here. We've got a group of people, both men and women, who don't want to grow up.
No. And everybody, all everybody wants now, in most cases with this younger generation, is they want fast, quick dopamine triggers. Nobody wants to grind. Nobody wants to put in the effort. Nobody wants to put in the years to develop things anymore. Everyone wants, I want it right now. And a lot of this has come due to social media. I'll be honest with you. Social media is going to step on some toes with that. But social media generation, this one we're watching coming up, has absolutely ruined the concept of long-term hard work. Because what happens is these younger kids, they watch all this stuff on social media. This group getting this car business house. They're buying all these exotics. They're buying boats. They're having all this. And they don't actually see what majority of these people do behind the scenes to make this stuff happen, if they even did it. If they're not just total low-life scammers and they're renting stuff to try to sell people things, try to rip them off money. They have no idea what it took to grind to get where they're at. So they go, this guy's got a Bugatti on YouTube. I want a Bugatti. Well, you didn't see the fact this guy's been working on content in YouTube for the last 15 years of his life, in and out every single day, and started growing it and built it and invested. And now he's in his 30s and he bought a Bugatti. Good for him. Congratulations. 20-year-old goes, I want that now. I deserve it because I exist and I breathe air. That concept does not go along with a healthy society.
Well, no, and what the Bible did, it gave us very specific guidelines as far as what we needed to do.
Yeah.
It did. It gave us very specific parameters. Now, a lot of you can go, well, the Bible's old-fashioned or didn't treat women right. That's not true. The women basically ran the households. The women basically had the ability to have children when men don't. And the women were able to procreate where men can't have babies. And so the Bible knew all this, and he said, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is how I built you. I gave a woman a right brain-dominated hemisphere. I gave a man a left brain, logical brain, hemisphere. The women are there for nurturing and taking care of the children. The men are there to get things done and support and take care of the women and protect them.
And by all means, sacrifice everything they have to make sure everybody stays safe and healthy and strong.
No, it is.
That's the problem nobody wants to address. We'll go out and work 60, 70, 80 hours a week.
Do what has to be done.
We'll end up dying in a fight just to keep everybody protected.
That's right.
So it goes both ways with everybody giving everything they got, and that's the problem with society.
Well, in a relationship, the relationship has to be 100% in both directions.
There you go.
It can't be 50-50 because everybody fights. If one person, you know, if you're 50-50, that means you got a tug of war constantly.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. Sharon would say to me, this is important to me. I'm like, okay, it's done. I'd say to her, Sharon, this is important to me. She goes, okay, it's done. We didn't fight about stupid stuff because we knew that if we gave each other 100%, that it would make a great relationship. And it did, because it's the trust and respect that builds the pillars and the foundation of love, along with the Holy Spirit and reciprocity involved in all of that. Then it goes on to say, finally, it says, the only way it was ever done in every nation, in every country ever that developed into a stable society, is that every religious doctrine was to mandate the proper societal norms on both men and women.
There you go.
Now you can get mad if you want, but that's just what happened. And it said, women are the happiest when noble men are supporting them, taking care of them, and following God's word for them, even if in some cases they vehemently disagree, that both parties benefit from a mutually beneficial relationship as both parties seek the word of God first in their lives. Now you think, well, I don't agree with all that. Women can go out and get a job. Okay, great. Go out and get a job. I'm not arguing with you about that. When men can say, well, I take care of the household and my wife works and supports me. Okay, great. I'm happy if that works out for you. But what I'm saying is, if the women don't stop for a second and breathe and have children, the society collapses. That's what this says.
That's a fact.
And so what we have a negative birth rate in the United States without immigration, Austin.
We do.
That's why everybody speaks Spanish around here now, because they all came in from South America.
I wish I could argue with that on that topic. Let me clarify. I know a lot of great people from South America. I had some guys I worked with in the construction industry. They were great guys, super honest guys. But the fact of the matter is, when you come here as an immigrant, you come here as a guest. Act like a guest accordingly. If I come to your house, I'm staying there for the night. I'm going to make sure the bathroom's clean. I'll make sure everything's tidy. I'll make sure I take care of everything. I'll make sure I put the bed up. I'll make sure everything's good before I leave. I'm not going to come into your house, swine your kitchen out, trash your bathroom, stomp my boots full of mud through the living room, jump on your couch and take my dirty shirt off and throw it on the floor and go, by the way, I'm a guest here. I need more food and I need more free stuff because I'm here for free. That's not how it works when you're a guest. When you come to a country, you're a guest here, act accordingly. And that's the concept that I think has eluded a lot of individuals.
You know, I have a friend of mine who went on a date the other day. I'm going to tell you the story. It's a funny story. It's a crazy story. He actually had a girl come up on the Bright Line, the Kill Train.
The Kill Train. Somebody else.
Up in Orlando. And he lives outside of Orlando, and he basically brought this girl up from Miami because he wanted to meet her. He talked to her about online for a while. And she gets up, and he finds out she's a Muslim. He's a Christian.
Oh, boy. I'm sure that went well for him.
Well, no. And what happened is he wants to go to a really nice restaurant. She says, I want to go to a Muslim restaurant.
There you go.
So the whole thing starts off as an argument. Well, about 20 minutes away from the airport in the Bright Line, he spins the vehicle around and takes her back to the train and tells her to go back to Miami.
I would be surprised.
He did it. And I thought, he told me that story. I started laughing. I said, no, you did not. He goes, she had a 3-hour train ride. He goes, I don't care. I was arguing for 20 minutes already. I don't want to have an argument for the rest of the day. I just sent her back to Miami. I had enough of it. So you're right. So if you come as some of these guests, if you come to my house, let's say you come to my house in Austin, I say, let's take you to lunch. We're going to take you to a nice restaurant.
Trust me. You're not going to eat trash. It's going to be really good food.
Don't start in on, we don't want to go there. We want to go here. Just be happy that we're all hanging out together.
Well, it's the same concept. Like you come to somebody's house and I'll say, hey, I'm making dinner. I got some, this is I'm making for dinner. Well, I don't want that. I don't need that while I'm here. Let's make this. Go to the store and buy me that and buy me this. It's the same concept. When you come to somebody's house, be a guest, be respectful. The same thing if you come to somebody's country. Bring things with you. If you're going to do something and come to a country and reap all the benefits, put something back into the community. And that's the concept that's eluded the aspect of immigration. Everybody that came here to immigrate in this country for hundreds of years now came here with a quest, came here with a goal, came here with a desire. And when they got that and they worked on it, they gave back to the community. That has eluded a large amount of the people that are coming here now. They want to come here to get free this, free this, free this, free this. And why the heck don't I have more free stuff? And why haven't you cleaned my house? And why have you bought me more food? And why have you got me a new car? Because I deserve it. That concept does not work in a really healthy Christian civilized society. It doesn't work. Everybody has to work together. And once we get that cohesiveness and we can come back together as a patriot community and realize we're all here together, it's going to be constantly divided. And that's the problem that we're in
now. That's what they've done on purpose, Austin.
They have.
They've turned women against men. That's why I wanted to cover that article, because it's a good article Riley sent me. You know, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with all of it the way it was written, but the point was, overall, it makes sense. If you don't have a society based upon the Word of God with proper procreation and proper relationships with men and women, it never works. All you have is conflict.
Exactly.
And then you go into gynocentrism. And when that happens, everybody wants to worship women like they're gods, like they're deity. And the problem with all that is if you have that going on, you have a situation in which you don't know where your faith lies or where your loyalties lie now, because you're doing all these other things based upon what you're trying to do with a relationship. Yeah. And then nobody's working.
That's also true. Nothing's getting done. Yeah.
And so it's horrible.
Well, one last story I want to cover is we were talking about earlier on this show, this new program, the U.S. Diabetes Prevention Program. This is ironic. They just put together a platform and showed that lasting changes starts with habits, not just weight loss, and that a healthy diet can actually be twice as effective as metformin. Now, I told you guys before, the berberine that we have with the cinnamon extract, I've seen it work better than metformin. I'm not making any claims. I'm telling you, I've watched it work better. I've had people on metformin with minimal results and health problems and start taking proper supplementation and get better results. And it talks about here, the U.S. Diabetes Prevention Program trial, those 21 years after its launch now, has found that essentially individuals, when they looked at two different groups, placebo group and the metformin group, that changing lifestyle, changing diet worked more effective than anything else they did. Limiting ultra-processed foods, imagine that. Working to choose healthy fats in your diet, not soybean oils, but olive oil and avocado oil.
That was you yesterday with ice cream.
Cutting ultra-processed foods, refined carbs, sugary drinks, high-fructose corn syrup, including lean proteins like fish and eggs, had a more powerful approach on type 2 diabetes than metformin did.
Of course it did.
Oh, my gosh. What a concept. We don't have to take drugs for every ailment we have. Maybe we just have to change our lifestyle and make little tweaks. Improve diet quality, strengthen your gut health, prioritize sleep and stress management, and live healthy, strong. And if you guys need anything, Team Health Masters, we're here to help you guys out every single day. This is why we do it. I try to bring you guys this news, these updates, these health articles, because I know a lot of people, it's difficult sometimes to navigate through all the trash. You got the mainstream media, and all they want to do is pretty much manipulate you.
All the time.
So we try to bring you guys the clean truth every single day, and I appreciate you guys for that.
Melina just sent me this against my wishes of sending me text.
Why do people text you during the show?
But this is actually good.
Time.
This is good. Men protect and provide. Women nurture and procreate. Both give and take with masculine-feminine polarity. This creates harmony and peace in the relationship.
Well, that's well said.
Well said, Melina. That was good.
But your phone blows up all the time on your show. Everyone wants to text you. It's ridiculous.
That was very
But thank you, Melina. That was a positive note. That was an excellent statement on there. Yeah. But I do find it funny. You get that from all kinds of people. So you need this on the show. Say this on the show. My favorite one, though, is when we're talking about something and somebody wants to disagree with him about what we say on the show via text while we're on the show. I'm like, dude, just leave it at home.
A lot of times I just turn it off.
Save it for another day. You guys need anything? Contact us, Team Health Masters. Call us, 1-800-726-1834. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter, browershow.com. Can't make it any easier for you. Browershow.com.
That's B-R-O-E-R.
Show.com. I think we're going to put an app together soon for the podcast, by the way.
Oh,
the app. Yes, that's going to be the next phase.
Would you guys like an app?
I know you guys like it. Click right on it. Bam, right on your phone. Get updates right now. Name, email, Brower Show, Team Health Masters, right here for you guys every single day. I appreciate y'all. Thank you for the support.
Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. God gave us a template to follow in his word.
That's a fact.
Of how we're supposed to act, the relationships we're supposed to have, and how our life is supposed to go. Do your best to follow his example for what he did.
Choose life.
Choose life, not death. Jesus loved us. God loved us so much that he died for us. Be willing to sacrifice yourself for your family if you have to do, if you're a guy, and take care of your wife and your children. They're your greatest asset you're ever going to have on this planet. And always remember that. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Always remember, Jesus is the answer. I love you.